Today's shiur is Masechta Shabbos Daf Nun. We will begin on Daf Mem Tesem Beis, five lines from the bottom of Gizit Semavei Metatlin. Our Gemara today will go back to discuss the first part of the shiur, a halacha that we discussed previously in our Masechta, and that are the halachas of Muksa. So, as we learned earlier in our Masechta, under certain circumstances, different items, different objects become muksa because they were set aside, as the word muksa means, not to be used on Shabbos. But as we also discussed earlier in our Masechta when we spoke about Hilchas Muksa, we learned that if somebody decided or showed that this item under discussion should not be muksa, then it's not muksa. And the first part of our shiur today, Be'ezer Hashem Yisbarach, will discuss what is the way to take away the status of muksa from different items. So says the Gemara. Our Mishnah says, Begizei Tzemer, if somebody wanted to do hatmana with wool shearings, he may use so, they're not considered a davar mois of hevel, but they're muksa. And therefore, a matatlan son. On this comes Rava, loy shana el shloy tamen behem, that you didn't actually use them for hatmana. Avla tamen behem, if you actually use them for hatmana, metatlan loysam. The fact that you used it for hatmana shows that it is not muksa to you, that you decided to use it for whatever purpose you need, and that takes away the category of hatmana from it. Says the Gemara, Eis ve'ehum rabbonim bar yoimei l'rova. There was this Talmud who was the Talmud of bar yoimei. And I saw two pshatim in the Aruch why he was called a Talmud bar yoimei. One pshat is that the Talmidim, as they came up to a level of prominence, would be given a seat in the shuras. Would be given a seat in the rows in the Beis Medrash. And the Gemara over here, when he's speaking about this Talmud, calling him the Talmud bar yoimei, is speaking about a Talmud who that day was promoted to that seat. That's one pshat that I saw. Another pshat that I saw is that the Gemara over here is referring to Rav Idi bar Oven. And the Gemara in Masechta Chagiga Daf Hey Amud Aleph teaches us regarding Rav Idi bar Oven, that Rav Idi bar Oven would travel 3 months from his home to the yeshiva. Then he would be in the yeshiva for one day and then travel back home. So he's called the Talmud bar Yoimei because he was only there for one day. So says the Gemara, there was this Talmud asked from Rava. The Mishnah said, you're allowed to use these wool shearings for Atman of Ema Tatlan or some, but you may not move him. Kate said, so what should he do? Did our Mishnah say? Noitlas akisui, pick up the lid. Hey, noiflis, and that's how the Gizei Tzemer will fall, and you didn't carry them with your hand. But why? If we're learning that once they were used for Hatmana, they lose their status of Muksa, so why is this necessary to do? Says the Gemara, Eli Itma Hachi Itma. Amar Rava Loi Shanu El Shla Yichtan Latmana. You didn't designate them for Hatmana. That means that even if you used it for Hatmana number of times, what is required is that they should be designated for Atmana. El Avol Yirtam Latmana, if you designate them for Atmana, Metatlan Aysan. And Rashi says that when we speak here about Yichton, we mean Yichud La'olam, that it should be designated forever. And that's the way the Magen Avraham and Siman Reish Nun Tes, Sifkaton Beis, and the Mishnah Berurah there, and Sifkaton Hei, Paskin. So, in other words, Rav at the beginning of the shiur seemed to have learned that just doing yichud, for just using it once, is enough to take away the muksa designation. And now the Gemara is saying that that isn't the case. And then in order for it not to be muksa, you need to have yichud loyel and void. There are other paiskim that say that we don't have to be so strict. We don't have to have yichud forever. Yichud, even for one Shabbos, is enough. Says the Gemara Itman Nami, Kiyosu Rovin Amar Rabbi Yaakov Amar Ravasi Ben Shol Amar Rebbe, Loi Shana L'Shiyichta L'Atmona. When may you not move these Gizei Tzemer if they weren't designated? Avol Yochtem L'Atmona, if they were designated, then the Aloch is Metatl Noisoi, they may be moved. Ravina Amar, Ravina gives a different way of understanding this Gemara. That Ravina says that if you use them for Atmana, then the halacha is that is adequate, that it should not be considered, that it should be not considered muksa. So why over here in our Mishnah do we have an Ishnu? Says the Gemara, because our Mishnah is talking about a very unique situation. Our Mishnah is talking about B'shalap Heftek Shano. Our Mishnah is talking about that the shearings of a warehouse. Since they're stacked in the warehouse for sale, even if they were removed and used for Atmana, they're going to be returned to the shelves, and therefore they remain muksa. So, in other words, Rava was speaking about ordinary shearings. Ordinary shearings, then as soon as I use them, it's enough. The heftek is different. Tanya Nami Hachi, and indeed that's what we learned in the Braisa. Gizei Tzemer Shel Heftek, Eima Tatlon Aysom, they may not be moved. The Meskina Balabais L'Shtamish Behem, but if they were designated to be used, then Metatlon Aysom, they may be used. There's an interesting question. What is the muksa of these Gizei Tzemer? The Shulchan Aruch Rav holds that it's muksa machmas gufay. Others say that the muksa machmas chsaron kiss. And then there are rishonim that say that the regular shearings are muksa machmas gufay, and the ones that are from the heftek are muksa machmas chsaron kiss. Tana Rava Kamei. So our Gemara goes back to discuss, as we mentioned at the beginning of the shiur, when you have something which is muksa, when you have something which is muksa machmas gufay, for example. So now the question is, what is necessary to take away that designation? Tana says the Gemara, Tana Rava Babachana Kamei the Rav, Churios Shodekel. If somebody had branches of date palm that were used, Shagadrim L'Shem Eitzim, you took them to use as firewood. And since you took them for firewood, so there's certainly muksa. There's an interesting machloikus rishonim. What is the halacha regarding these churi shodekel? Did you just have a bundle of churi shodekel and you never really made a designation that you're going to use it for firewood or not use it for firewood? So it seems from the Ritva, that if I didn't specifically designate them for firewood, they would not be muksa. Others say that since they're typically used for firewood, even though I didn't specifically designate them for firewood, they would still be considered muksa. But here we're clearly discussing a situation of chiriyah shadakal, these bundles, shagadram leitzim, they were designated to be used for firewood. And nimel chaleim yeshiva. And now I want to use them to sit on. So since I want to use them to sit on, now they won't be muksa. The question that we now have here is, what needs to be done to take away that designation? The Tanakh, the first shita is tzorch l'kasher. They have to actually tie them together. And by tying them together, you're showing that it's not muksa. But if you didn't tie them together, the halacha is that it wouldn't still be muksa. Rav Shimon Gamliel Aima ain't tzarech kasher. You don't have to actually tie. Machshava that you're going to use it is enough. Hu tana lava hu lamala. And Rabbi Babachan is the one that taught us this braisa, and he explained that the halacha like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that machshava alone is enough. Itma, Rav Amma Kosher. Rav says you have to tie it. V'shmul Omer Choshev, just if you had a machshava from before Shabbos, it's enough. Rav Asi Omer Yoshev, sitting on them makes them permissible to be moved. Abish Lakishar, and according to Rav Asi, even if you didn't tie them, V'abish Lakishav, even if you don't have any machshava, all of them is enough. And as we'll get into the Gemara, we're going to see a very important question. And that is, what is the halacha? What? How do we understand Rav Asi's opinion? Rav Asi that says that Yoshev, that you sat on it, is enough. What is Rav Asi coming to tell us? Is Rav Asi coming to be even a bigger makel? That machshava is more of an act than yeshiva? Or is yeshiva more of an act more than machshava? It's also important to point out that Rashi says that the issue here is if I'm allowed to move them. What do we see from Rashi? That the entire issue here, when we speak about muksa, we've spoken about this earlier, is regarding moving muksa. But there is no issue of sitting on muksa. And that's why the Gemara's focus, as Rashi says, is regarding being able to move these bundles. Sitting them, Rashi says, would always be mutter. Bishlama asked the Gemara, Rav, that says you have to do kshira, hu dama katana kama. It's like the Tanakama of the previous price about the Chori Shodiko. Shmuel Ami, Shmuel who said that you have to have machshava, hu dama kreb Shimon Gamliel. Asked the Gemara, Ela Rav Asi, that says yeshiva, dama kaman. Who's he going to follow? Whose opinion does he follow that is enough? Answers the Gemara, hu dama kai tana. He follows the following tanya. The tanya we learned in a braisa. Now the subject of this braisa is regarding carrying on Shabbos. The halacha is that something which is a malbush, something which is an article of clothing, may be worn on Shabbos. Now the question is, if somebody puts something on as a bandage. So the braisa says, Yoitzin ube bekurin ube tzipa. Somebody could go into the Rishus Rabbim Shabbos with flax, with combed flax, or combed wool that was on his wound. This man should siven b'shemen in a time that he dipped them into oil before Shabbos, v'karchem v'mashicha, and wrapped them with a string. However, light siven b'shemen, if you didn't dip them in oil, v'light karchem v'mashicha, and you didn't wrap them around with a string, then the halacha is ein yoitzin b'hem. Since they're not effective, if you didn't dip them in the oil and put them on properly, so then they only irritate the wound, and since they only irritate the wound, they're not considered a malbush, and it's considered carrying. But says the Braisa, if you walked out with them, even for a short amount of time on Friday, you didn't dip them in the oil, you didn't tie them with a string, you're allowed to go out with them. Before we go further, we know the halacha is that you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos, you're not allowed to do refuah on Shabbos. So why is that not part of the discussion? So the Rishonim say that since these bandages don't actually heal the wound, they only prevent the wound from becoming irritated, that's why it's not considered a ma'aser refuah. But what do we see from here? That just doing something from before Shabbos is enough to make it into that it should not anymore have an issue that, as far as we're concerned, in our halacha, it would mean that it's adequate, that it shouldn't be considered muksa. This is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. It is interesting to point out that there are a number of Rishonim, Rav Haigoin, Rabbi Nachmanel, and Aruch that say that the discussion here is regarding wearing a wig. Even though this price is talking about carrying a Rishus Rabbim, our Gemara is talking about Muksa. So Tosfos, the Remaskel Avol, actually says that the Braisa is not only speaking about carrying, that the Braisa is also concerned about Muksa. And again, that the Braisa is teaching us, as is the opinion of Rav Asi, that if they were used from Erev Shabbos for that purpose, so not only is it adequate to make it be considered a malbush, and since it's make it considered a malbush, there's no issue of carrying to Shus Rabbim, it's also going to work regarding Hilchas Muksa. Other Rishonim disagree. The Rabbeinu Yoina says that the Braisa is only speaking about the subject of carrying. It's not referring to Muksa at all. But the Gemara is able to say that just like we see for Hilchas Haitzah B'Shabbos, the fact that you use it for a certain purpose makes it into a Malbush, the same thing will be regarding Hilchas Muksa. The fact that it was used for a certain purpose is enough. So we go back to what we discussed a number of minutes ago. We asked that here we see that in order to be able to use it on Shabbos, they had to be used for a certain purpose from before Shabbos. Ask the Rishonim that before we learned that you have to have a machshava. So now, if we're going to learn that a maisa is greater than a machshava, so this Braisa is great. And the Braisa is teaching us that a maisa is good enough. But if we're going to learn that a machshava is greater than a maisa, so now we have a very big question. Why is a maisa over here enough? So Rabbeinu Yoina explains that since this braisa is talking about haitzah, so for haitzah there may be different rules than for muksa. Tosfos gives a different approach. Tosfos says that there was a machshava here. Because the fact that I dipped it into oil, ain't lecha machshava gedoyle mezu. The Ramban says that we can't compare completely muksa and carrying. And it could be for carrying, the maisa is what's important. And for muksa, since muksa, the way I always understood the Ramban, is that since muksa is something that's totally in the head, that's why for muksa you need a machshava to take away the status of muksa. Omer Rashi, afanan nami tanina. I'll show you from Mishnah as well that sitting a mice is enough. The Mishnah speaks about a kashel gavamita, the straw that's on a bed. Now straw is muksa. So the halach is, lo yinena b'yadoi, you're not allowed to move it with your hand, it's muksa. Avanane begufay, you're allowed to move it with your body. Some say that this is a tiltum and a tzad. But as we had earlier in the Masechta, in Perikira, on Daf Mem Gimel Amud Aleph, the Gemara suggested that the question of tiltum and a tzad, if moving something in a tzad is tiltul or not, was a machloikus. So how can we say here that it's mutter? So if we recall, we learned then that tiltum and atzad is mutter when it's not letzoyuch dover amuksa. If it's letzoyuch dover amuksa, indeed, tiltum and atzad may be osur. But here I'm not moving it for the tzoyuch dover amuksa. I'm moving it because I want to be able to sit on the bed. And since I'm moving it because I want to sit it on the bed, that's why it's mutter, even though it's tiltum and atzad, even according to the opinions that hold that tiltum and atzad of muksa is usur. The Ramban has a different approach. He says this is not even considered tiltum and atzad. It's considered tiltul mekalachayad. There's a difference when I'm actually moving the muksa, whereas I'm just sitting down on the bed and the muksa moves. And the Ramban wants to suggest that even if we'll hold that tiltum and atzad is osur, tiltul klachiyad is mutter. Im haya machl behema, But if this straw was designated as animal food, or if you lay down on this bed from before Shabbos, so you show that you mean that this straw should be your mattress, then the halacha is, then you can even move it. Shmami no. From here you see, the fact that it was actually used before Shabbos is adequate to take away the status of muksa, exactly the opinion of Rav Asi. Ask the Gemara, Mantana. Before we learned the machlokes of Shimon Gamliel and Tana Kama, what to do with muksa. The Tana Kama said that you have to do a maisa, and Rav Shimon Gamliel said that a machshava is enough. Ask the Gemara, Man Tana the Polyglot of Shimon Gamliel. Who's the Tana that disagrees with Rav Shimon Gamliel? Says the Gemara, Rav Chanina bar Akiva. It's the opinion of Rav Chanina bar Akiva. And what the Gemara means to say is that it's only a Das Yochid, says the Ritva, and we don't follow that opinion. Says the Gemara, the Kiyosu Rav Dimi, when Rav Dimi came to Etzisrael to Bavel, Om Aziri, Om Rav Chanina, Pamachas Holler Rav Chanina ben Akiva Lamakam Echad, he once came to a certain place, they found these bundles of palm branches that were used, that were bundled together. He told his Talmidim, you have to have a machshava, in order that we should be able to move them tomorrow. And we're not exactly sure why he said a machshava was enough. Was it because it was a Beis HaMishta? There was a wedding party, and that's why he's being lenient? And that's why he was being lenient. And that's why, as the Tosfos HaRosh and the Ritva explained, even though he's normally Machmer, here, because it was a Beis HaMishta or a Beis HaOvel, he was Mekel. Another Pshat that the Ritva says that normally he requires a Maisa. Why? Because if you don't have a Maisa, you may retract from your Machshava. But in a place where it's obvious that you're not going to retract from your Machshava, it's a Beis HaOvel or Beis HaMishta, where certainly you're going to need this. There, the halacha is that a Machshava is enough. But what do we see? Dafka, Beis HaOvel, Beis HaMishta, the treaty, that's why he was Mekel. Avol Hocha, anywhere else, his opinion would be kosher in. If you tie them together, that will take away the muksa designation. Loi kosher, but if you don't tie them together, loi, that can't take away the muksa designation. In the time of Chazal, homes were typically not made out of a floor that was flat. It was made out of earth. And therefore the earth on the floor was muksa machmas kufay. So says the Gemara, Om Rav Yehuda, machnas adam malik kufasay offer, a person could bring a barrel, basket full of offer, vice by kol tzarkai, then you could do whatever you want with that offer, then it's not muksa. Obviously, we're not talking about a case, says the Mishnah Berurah, where by using the offer, you're going to make a hole, because that would be a whole new discussion. The only time it's permissible is if you put the earth in a certain corner, and therefore you're showing that you want to be able to use that earth for whatever purpose. But if you put the earth on the floor of the house, then it's part of the house, and it'll be muksa machmas gufay. Furthermore, says the Ritva, that if you left the earth in the backs, that would be the biggest raya that it's not muksa. Amru kamed Rabbanu kamed Rapapa, and Rabbanu said this halacha to Rapapa, and he said, "Command, according to whose opinion is this following? This is following the opinion of Rav Shimon Gamliel that says machshav is alone. Dik Rabbanu, if we're going to follow the opinion of the Rabbanu, the argue Rav Shimon ha'amri bein in meiser. They say you need a meiser, and this would not be considered an adequate maisa," says the Gemara. This would be not adequate to take it away from its designation of muksa. I saw that the Sefer Shem Tzion Ba'alocha quotes a Ran who quotes a Tshuva Sarajba, that if somebody takes a stone and he wants to use that stone, and we learned earlier in our Masechta that a stone is muksa, but if you decided that you're going to, from Erev Shabbos, designate this stone to be your nutcracker, it's no different than Machnas Molik Kfasa Ofer, that Dalochi is, that you could do whatever you want in it. And therefore, anything which is muksa, the halacha would be that if you showed before Shabbos that you want to use it for a permissible purpose, it wouldn't be considered muksa. And the Beis Yosef, in fact, says they used to keep their sroigim in earth. So he says, as we just learned, earth is muksa. But if you showed that this earth is not muksa to you, why? Because you took this earth and you put the esrig in it. So that's enough of a raya that it's not muksa. You don't have to do more. Says the Gemara. But the Gemara asked the question. From here we see that machshav is enough. Don't the rabbanon hold that you have to have a maisa? Responds Rapapa. Of Amar Rapapa feel tem rabbanon. This could work with rabbanon as well. For at kan lekam rabbanon debi maisa. Where did rabbanon say that a maisa is required? El midi de bar avida by maisa, something that you could do a maisa with. So there you have to have a maisa to show that you don't want it to be muksa. Ava midi de la bar avida by maisa, something like offer that there's no maisa that can be done. Everybody will agree that you don't have to do a maisa, and a machshava alone is enough. Says the Gemara. Name a ketanoi, ask the Gemara. Should we suggest that this is a machloikus tanoim? And as we always say, when the Gemara says name a ketanoi, it's not a statement, it's actually a question. Because the Amoraim were expected to know all machloikus tanoim. So how could you say that the Amoraim are arguing over a subject that the tanoim already argued? It says, "Bekol chafenes hakelim." You may use anything to polish kalim, chutz mikli kesa begartkun. You're not allowed to use gartkun. It's a type of earth that they used to polish. You can't use it for kli kesa because that will certainly be the melacha of mamachik. We're going to learn in the Mishnah Masechta Daf, later in our Masechta Daf, Ayin Gimel Amud Aleph, that polishing anything, in the Beis Hamikdash, they used to do it on leather, and that's called mamachik. The Rambam has a different approach to our Gemara. We're not going to learn the Gemara with the Rambam. That the issue here is Mesakin. The issue is the issue of Mamakim Bepatish. Haba Neser, V'chol, Mutter. You may do it. V'tanya Neser, V'chol, Osser. But ask the Gemara, there's a price that says you can't polish the Kalim with Neser, V'chol. Ma'ila B'hokimifki. What is the Machloikus? It seems that the Machloikus is regarding Muksa. The Masova, being a Maisa. The Neser and Chol are Meiser, are Muksa. There's no way you could do a Meiser to take away that designation, and therefore they will remain Muksa. And the other Mandam that says that they may be used, Sovalai being a Meiser. And the fact that you decided to designate it is enough. So it seems that we have a Machloikis, that the Machloikis here is, if something where a Meiser is not able to be done to remove the Muksa designation, is a Machshav enough, says the Merloi. That isn't the machloikus. Everybody will agree the kulam aloi bina maisa. Where a maisa is not doable, a maisa is not required. What's the machloikus? Halakasha, a machloikus that we discussed numerous times in our Masechta. The machloikus of Dovashem Miskavin. Ha, the man d'amma that says that you're not allowed to use them, that you're not allowed to polish the klikes of Nes V'chol, follows the opinion of Yehuda that says Dovashem Miskavin is asur. And since sometimes you're going to end up doing mamachik, therefore it's asur. V'akrav Shimon, the man d'amma that's lenient, holds the davashen miskavin is mutter. And therefore, since it's not a psik ratio, it's not for sure that this is going to happen, that's why it's mutter. Says the Gemara, so b'maya kumtel hadashari, how are you explaining the mandama that says that you could use nesa v'chol to polish your silver? You're saying it's following the opinion of Shimon, who holds Dovashen Miskavin is mutter. Ask the Gemara, but aim a seifa. Let's continue learning that braisa. It says, Avaloyoch b'em sara, You're not allowed to use them to rub your hair. V'Reb Shimon, but because your hair may come out. But ask the Gemara if we're following the opinion of Reb Shimon that holds a davish item miskaven as mutter, so why shouldn't you be allowed to use your nes v'chol to take out your hair? The Tanan, because we see that Reb Shimon holds that you're allowed to use nes v'chol on your hair because in a situation where it may take out the hair. The Tanan, we know what halacha is, that a nazir has to be very careful that he should not remove any of his hair. But says the Mishnah in Masechta Nazir, a Nazir, Chayfuf Mesafsis, a Nazir could rub his hair with Neser and Chol, Avalai Soirit. He can't separate the hairs by hand, and he can't comb them. So we see that Neser and Chol don't remove the hair. So if so, the same thing, so that Mishnah obviously follows the opinion of Shimon, and that's why you're allowed to use the Nazir, is allowed to use the nes of a chol on the hair because it's a davish and a miskaven. So just like Reb Shimon holds that way by the nazir, he should hold that way on Shabbos regarding nes of a chol, that you're allowed to use them to do your hair. So why, if this brisa is following the opinion of Reb Shimon that holds that it's a psik, that it's not a psik reisha, so then why is it Osir? Ela Havaha, it must be the Tana that says that you can use Nes V'chol on silver, and the Tana that holds that you can't use it on your hair is Rabbi Yehuda. The trait that says that you can't use it is both following the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. The Tai Tanoi Rabbi Yehuda. There's Machloikis Rabbi Yehuda, Machloikis Tanoim. What is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion? Hai Tanoi Rabbi Yehuda says, Pamim Gor. Sometimes the Nes of a Chol also polish the silver, and therefore he holds that's a Dovashen Miskavin, and it's Osir. For Hai Tana, Aliv Rabbi Yehuda, and the other Tana holds Loi Gor, that Nes of a Chol never polished the silver, and since Nes of a Chol never polished the silver, there's no problem of a machik. Of course, I saw the Mefarshim ask the question, how can we have a machloikis in a metzias if it does or it doesn't polish? So the answer is it does do some level of polish. The question is, what level of polish is considered polish? Says the Gemara, how did you explain the brisa that you're allowed to use nes v'chol? Reb Yehuda. Ask the Gemara, av a pan of yad of raglav mutter. We saw that he allows you to do pan of yad of raglav. But if we're following the opinion of Reb Yehuda, ha ma'aber, that you shouldn't be allowed to wash your hands and your face with the nes v'chol. It'll take off the hair. And even if it's a davish and a miskaven, we're saying that this price follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds a davish and a miskaven is awesome. Answers the Gemara, Ibai Seimah B'Katan. We're talking about a katan who doesn't have hair to worry about. Ibai Seimah B'Ishu, we're talking about a woman who doesn't have hair to worry about. Ibai Seimah B'Saris. Or we're talking about a saris who doesn't have a beard and has no hair to worry about. So, if they don't have hair, what's the chiddush? So the answer is that we would think that maybe they should make a gzeira that even people who don't have hair should be usher because of people who do have hair. So the chiddush here is that Chazal did not make such a gzeira. I also saw that the Sefer Shabbos Shalmi asked the question, why does the Gemara have to give three terutzim? Cotton, Isha, Saris, all to make the same point that we're talking about somebody who doesn't have hair. So he answers, because each one of these Terutzim have a problem. Because if we're saying that we're talking about a cotton, it doesn't make sense that the Brice is talking about a cotton. We're talking about people who have a Chi of Shabbos. The Terutz of Isha is also sort of difficult because the Brice was said the Lashon Zohar. Layochav behen sarai. And the teretz of Soros is sort of difficult because a saris is a unique situation. Most people are not saris. That's why the Gemara had to give a number of different terutzim. Here we're saying that Davish and Miskavin is asur. Even according to Rav Shimon, with its psik ratio. So I saw the Rav Shimon agrees when it's for sure going to happen, then it's asur. We gave the example, if you're pulling something on an earthen floor, where it's for sure going to make a hole. So I saw a shaila, what's going to be the halacha by a suffix psik ratio? That means you come to a house on Shabbos, and you don't know if the light in the refrigerator was shut off before Shabbos or not. And the question is, are you allowed to open up that refrigerator? So the sefer, it's a suffix psik ratio. It's a davar she'eino miskaven. You're certainly not intending to put on the light, but a psik ratio is also, and here it's a suffix psik ratio. So the sefer Chashukei Chemed discusses the shaila, and he suggests that when it's a suffix psik ratio, you should do it with a shinui. Don't open up the refrigerator door the way you would normally open up the refrigerator door. Rather, open it up with a shinui. And when you do it with a shinui, so since it's a suffix psik ratio on the rabbanon, we could be more makel. It's also interesting to point out that Tosfos says that Tosfos Divrei Maskil B'mayu Kimta establishes a very interesting fact. Tosfos says, Saris haroish, noishrois, yoise meher, misaris haguf ba'adam. That the hair of the head come out easier than any other hair on a person's body. So I saw that the Sefer Oitzi Yad HaChaim says that that's why we see that the hair on the head turns white quicker than the hair on any other part of the body. Continues the Gemara, Amar of Yehuda, Ofa Levit, Ofa Levinta, the powdered brick which they use to wash the face, Shari may be used on, may be used even when somebody has a beard on Shabbos. Amar of Yosef, Kuspa the Yasmin, a different type of soap could be used. Amar Rava, Afa Pilpili, crushed pepper is mutter. Omer of Sheshis, Barda Shari. Ask the Gemara, my Barda, what exactly is Barda? Omer of Yosef, Tilsa Allah, it's a third Allah, Vitilsa Osun, it's a third myrtle, Vitilsa Sigli, and a third violet. Omer of Nachman by Yosef, Kalecha de Leka Ruba Allah, as long as the majority of this soap is not made out of Allah, Shapadami, we don't have to worry that it's going to remove hair. If it has, however, a higher level of Allah, then we have to worry that's going to move here. Continues the Gemara. Bar mi neimer Rav Sheshis. Ma'al of tzor zeisim b'shabbos. Are you allowed to break open olives on Shabbos to sweeten them? And the question that the Rishonim say is being discussed is, are you allowed to make something more edible on Shabbos? Amalhu, you sweeten them, you make them more edible. Is that considered misakin mono? Amalhu, to which he responded, v'chi b'chol mi'ituru, you're asking me a question about Shabbos. The question is even during the week. Why is there a question during the week? So he explains, because there's an issue of hefset oichlim. There's a halacha that you're not allowed to do, you're not allowed to have bizoyin oichlim. And as Rashi explains, food that we have from Hashem is a blessing that we got from Hashem. And to use the food that we got as a blessing from Hashem for other purposes is certainly awesome. Says the Gemara, Lema pligi de Shmuel. So it seems that this question is a question that was discussed by Shmuel. Dom Shmuel, also Adam called Tzarech Bepas. Shmuel says that everything can be done with bread. So according to Shmuel, it would seem that you're also allowed to open up the olives. Says the Gemara, it's not a good comparison. Pas lemi isa. When you use bread, it doesn't become unusable. And therefore, you're allowed to use bread for those purposes. Hani, but the olives become unusable. And therefore, even though by bread we maybe could be makel, by other things we have to be machmer. And the halacha is, I saw that Sefer Shem Tzion Balacha says, whenever you're doing it for constructive purpose, then there's no problem of bezoin oichlam. And therefore he says that let's say somebody doesn't have any water available to wash his hand. The only thing he has available is something which is a beverage that we drink. So even though it seems that by doing so he is being mevaza oichlam, that he's using it to wash his hands, if you have no other, if you have nothing else available, we can be lenient. Amem Mazut Ravashi have a Yasri. They were all sitting together. Isla Kamei Barda. They brought the Barda that we just discussed before. Amem Rav Shaysh Moshu. They washed their hands with it. Mazur Lord Masha. Ravashi did not. Omlu Lesovlu Mala Hodom Rav Shaysh's Barda that you allowed to wash with Barda. Omlai Amalur Ramotra, so Ramotra said to him, Barmine Demar, don't lure from there. Dafil Bechol Namilo Sfirle. He holds that even during the week, you're not allowed to use Barada. Why? Because Savla Kohadatanya, he holds, like we learned in a, like the Tana taught us, that the Tana taught us that Megar Adam Gilde Tsoy of a Gilde Makashal Tsoroy Shal Bishvil Tsaroy. A person could scrape off crusts of filth, crusts of a wound from his body because he's uncomfortable. But if he does it, a man is not allowed to do something to make himself look beautiful. It is the iser of la'yelbish gever simlas isha. And therefore, barda was only used for one to beautify himself. And since barda was only used for the purpose of beautifying, it's also vinu. They who used it, what was their head? The commands of Ruah. Kyodatanya, Rachat Adapan of Yadav Ragab Kal Yoim Bishvil Kainai. A person can wash his hands and face every day in respect of the Abishta. Shenemar Kapa Hashem Lemaneu. We were created in the image of Hashem. And since we were created in the image of Hashem, we're allowed to do everything to enhance that image. Taisa says that if somebody is embarrassed, you're allowed to also do it. That's also considered in the heter of what our Gemara discusses. And there are a lot of Paiskim that discuss this Taisvis, what a man may or may not do, what's included in that is not. If not, there's a very famous tshuva in the Shailos HaTshuvos Shoyel HaMeishiv, where somebody's beard half remained black and half remained turned white. And the question was, he was very embarrassed. And the question was, is he allowed to dye his beard? Even though the halacha is, in Shulchan Aruch Yeridei, is Simen Kuf Pei Bei Sivov. Also, Lelish Lelakir Afilu Ser Ech Lovim Metoich Hasharis Hashchairis. If you have one white hair in your beard, one white hair in your head, you're not allowed to pluck it out. Mishum Shenem Layilbash Gever. The Cain says the Shulchan Aruch, also lish l'tzvayis saris levonos, she is shchayrus, you're not allowed to dye white here to turn back, I feel sarachas. So is this considered a violation of that halacha or not? Most, many Gedol Yisrael, the Shalos HaTshuvos Shoyel HaMeishiv, the Divrei Chayim, the Maram Shik, were machmer. However, there were paiskim that were mekel. But I saw that the Shalos HaTshuvos Michas Yitzchak, Chel Gvov Simen Pei Aleph says where it's obvious that it's not just because you want to look nicer. He gives the example, Chas V'Shalom, somebody has a wart on his face, on his hands, and it's very embarrassing. He says under those circumstances, that's not considered yipui, and it may be done. And I saw from the Sefer Tzemach Tztaka, with this we could understand a passion in the Torah that's sort of difficult to understand. And that is, we have the issue of Yaakov Avinu, Yosef, Rashi says, Oysamasanaris. What is Oysamasanaris? So Rashi says, Mesalsel Basaroi. Yosef would comb his hair. And the question is, how indeed did Yosef act that way? And if why wasn't Yaakov Avinu upset at Yosef for acting that way? So he says a beautiful pshat. He says that we know that Zivikunin, the face of Yosef, was similar to the face of Yaakov Avinu. Since the face of Yosef was similar to the face of Yaakov Avinu, so Yosef looked, and we know that the tzura of Yaakov Avinu is on the Kisei HaKavod. So that's why everything that they did to beautify themselves is covered Shem Shemayim. And if it's covered Shem Shemayim, it's mutter to be done. We learned in the Mishnah, Reb Elazar ben Azariah Omer, Kupa, a Kupa that you put the Kedera in, to Gizei Tzemer, if you want to take that Kupa out, the Loch is mutter al Tzidoy, you have to pick it up, V'noitel, Shem Yitol, because we're concerned that you may take the Kupa out, and then you will not be able to put it back. So, it seems that the issue, according to most Rishonim, is that the issue is an issue of muksa. Says the Gemara, Amar of you may end up touching muksa. Amar of Abba, Amar of Chibar Ashi, Hakam Moidim, Shim. If you took the Kedera out of this hole, the Skalkula Kupa Guma, and then the hole that you had it into fell apart, Osla Hachsar. You're not allowed to put it back, because by putting it back, you're moving the muksa. And as the Shulchan Aruch Rav explains, that it's talking about a situation where you can't just put it back without touching the muksa. Because if you could put it back without touching the muksa, we go back to what we discussed at the beginning of the shiur, that if you're not touching the muksa directly, it's not osur. That's how Rashi learns the Gemara. The Rambam says that the issue here is it considered a new act of Atmana or not? Says the Gemara Tanan, we learned in our Mishnah, V'chom Oimrim, Noitel, you're allowed to take the Kedera from the Kupa Umachser. Hechidomi. Ask the Gemara, let's understand the opinion of the Chachamim. Idaloina Skalka Guma, if the Guma didn't get ruined, so Shapa Kamarabonin, why can't I put it back? Elav, it must be Afidin Skalka Guma. And still, we see that they're arguing, says Marloi. Loi lam de loin is kalkula. We're talking about if the guma fell apart and I have to move the muksa, everybody agrees that it's asur. The question here is, do we make a gzera? The question is that can we take it out and be concerned that maybe it'll fall down and I'll have to carry muksa? Mar, Reb Elazar ben Azariah, Sovei Choshem Neskalkala. We have to be concerned. And therefore, we can't take it out in a way that the Guma may fall apart. Or Masav versus the Chacham hold, Ein Choshem, we may not be concerned. Because, as the Ritva explains, the Mux is only a Derabbanan, and the Rabbanan therefore hold that this is a situation of a Gzeira L'Gzeira. Reb Elazar ben Azariah holds that since this is likely to happen, anything which is likely to happen is not considered a gzeira l'gzeira, and therefore Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah holds it's asur.